Eclipse puts a shot glass under its leaking roof. NASA's space station home improvement mission is underway. And Boeing says hundreds of 737s have defective fasteners. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 17th, 2008. Eclipse Aviation still faces big problems, but the company appears to have found a way to cover its employees' outstanding payroll checks. Thursday morning, workers were sent home with news that their payroll checks for hours worked through November 8th would not clear the bank. They were given an 800 number and told to stay tuned. By sometime Friday, the recorded message informed workers they'd be paid by Tuesday. Now, it's not clear where the money's come from, but it appears to have been a short-term loan of far less than the $200 to $300 million needed for the company to resume normal production. Meanwhile, the problems keep mounting. Albuquerque Mayor Martin Chavez said Friday, the city is on a list of parties to whom Eclipse owes delinquent payments. In the city's case, it's $200,000 in back rent for Eclipse's facility at Albuquerque International Sunport. Also on Friday, three more Eclipse customers filed lawsuits against the company to recover their deposits on aircraft ordered before a steep price hike in May. When the Eclipse 500's price jumped to $2.15 million, depositors who signed on early, some promised prices under $1 million, were supposed to have the choice to receive their money back. At least seven buyers now have sued Eclipse in an attempt to recover those deposits. The company is still declining public comment on its challenges. NASA's STS-126 shuttle mission got off to a spectacular start Friday night, with a launch visible for hundreds of miles around the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. As Endeavour cleared the launch pad, NASA commentator Kandria Thomas remarked that the mission was, quote, preparing our home in space for a larger international family, unquote. She was referring to the additional living space, kitchenette, and waste handling equipment that will allow the station crews to grow to six people from the current three starting this summer. Shuttle Commander Chris Ferguson was at the controls of the shuttle Endeavour when it docked at the International Space Station's Harmony module at 5:01 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday afternoon. The 15-day mission will also include four spacewalks to service two solar alpha rotary joints needed to allow the arrays to track the sun for maximum electrical generation. STS-126 will last through the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, so meal planning for the astronauts has reportedly included Thanksgiving-themed space meals. Boeing says it's developing a plan to replace defective nut plates on hundreds of 737s. The company says 394 of the planes have already been placed in service with defective parts. Boeing spokeswoman Vicky Ray told the Associated Press the nut plates missed getting their required cadmium coatings to protect them from corrosion and have been installed on 737s since August of 2007. Each plane uses thousands of nut plates to fasten bundles of wires and other items to the insides of fuselages. She added that the plates do not represent a risk to flight safety at the present time. Spirit AeroSystems, which provides fuselage and wing components for most Boeing models, reportedly discovered the error. Fastener is becoming a dirty word at Boeing. In September 2007, Boeing reported delays in the assembly of the 787 Dreamliner due to a shortage of aluminum and titanium fasteners made by Alcoa. In March of this year, a 757 en route from Orlando to Philadelphia lost a 2x4-foot wing panel when fasteners failed due to metal fatigue. An investigation by the U.S. Department of Transportation finds FAA officials have again misrepresented numerous breaches of safety at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. According to the Associated Press, the report charges for the second time in 3 years that FAA managers reclassified 62 proximity violations caused by air traffic controllers between November 2005 and July of 2007, either blaming them on errors by pilots or calling them non-events. The report suggests a persistent cover-up of misconduct and recommends reorganizing ATC management at DFW, as well as an overall review of the FAA's air traffic safety management. Spokeswoman Laura Brown said the FAA has already complied with all of the Inspector General's recommendations not related to personnel matters, which she is prohibited from discussing. But she told the AP, quote, I can tell you we take them very seriously, and we're taking appropriate action on those as well, unquote. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association blames understaffing for a risk of increased errors. Up next on ANN, labor negotiators at Boeing breathe a sigh of relief. Boeing's Dreamliner isn't the only program delayed by the strike. And recordings reveal much about a Mexican Learjet crash. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 17th. I'm Paul Plack. With the threat of another damaging strike just 2 weeks away, Boeing announced Friday it has reached tentative agreement with the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace on new four-year contracts covering 21,000 engineers and technical workers. The union is recommending members approve those agreements. Current contracts expire December 1st. The workers affected are based in Washington State, Oregon, Utah, and California. Union negotiators withheld details until presentations were made to bargaining unit councils over the weekend. The 57-day strike by machinists at Boeing had everyone asking about the effects on the 787 Dreamliner program, but it's not the only one impacted by the long shutdown. On Friday, Boeing announced an adjusted schedule for production and delivery of the 747-8 freighter and intercontinental airplanes. Boeing says the new plan addresses supply chain delays driven by design changes to the airplane, limited availability of engineering resources inside Boeing, and the effects of the strike. Delivery of the first 747-8 freighter moves from late 2009 to the third quarter of 2010. Delivery of the first 747-8 intercontinental passenger jet moves from late 2010 to the second quarter of 2011. Boeing Commercial Airplanes President and CEO Scott Carson said the delay was disappointing. Quote, "However, it is the appropriate and prudent decision to ensure a successful program, and we are committed to working with our customers to mitigate any disruption it causes them," unquote. The company will provide updated financial guidance and a post-strike assessment of the schedule for all its commercial airplane programs at a later date. U.S. and Mexican investigators agree the crash of a Learjet 45 in Mexico City on November 4th was probably caused by a combination of wake turbulence from a landing airliner and unfamiliarity of both pilots with the aircraft. There was much public speculation about possible sabotage by operators of drug cartels, since two of the victims were prominent Mexican officials, but those theories have been all but ruled out. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board analyzed the plane's cockpit data recorder, which it said revealed the pilot's struggle to regain control of the aircraft after encountering severe wake turbulence. The Dallas Morning News reports the families of both pilots defended 39-year-old pilot Martin Oliva and 58-year-old co-pilot Alvaro Sanchez as responsible, serious professionals, but Mexico's Communications and Transportation Minister Luis Tellez told reporters the data, quote, "revealed apparent deficiencies in the training and certification process of both," unquote. As the Learjet approached Mexico City, it was sequenced behind a Boeing 767-300, and the pilots were instructed to reduce their airspeed to maintain proper spacing. But Tellez says the pilots took over a minute to comply, putting their plane just 4 nautical miles behind the much larger 767. Investigators say the encounter with wake turbulence was captured on the plane's voice data recorder. You can read a transcript in the text version of the story on our website at aero-news.net. Alteon, Boeing's commercial aviation training unit, announced last week the first graduating class in its multi-crew pilot licensing program. 6 cadet pilots from China Eastern Airlines and Xiamen Airlines completed the beta test of the MPL program at Alteon's Brisbane, Australia campus. MPL takes a competency-based approach to training, shifting the focus away from the accumulation of some specific number of flight hours to demonstrated competency on modern simulators to perform as an airline crew member. The International Civil Aviation Organization developed MPL in response to the airline's expectation of a 20-year pilot shortage. The airlines are going to have to either find a previously undiscovered source of qualified pilots or find a cost-effective way to train them on the company tab, hence the need to find more efficient and effective training methods. Altion Chief Customer Officer Roy Gonzarski said of the test program, quote, "The most important lesson learned from the MPL beta test is that cadets without any aviation experience can be trained to world-class proficiency and competency as a first officer. This is possible due to a rigorous training program that includes advanced courseware, high-fidelity simulation, and adherence to high standards by instructors and students," unquote. The course took 20 months. Graduating cadets will complete base training and Civil Aviation Administration's of China requirements at their respective airlines. Still ahead, U.S. airline passenger traffic is dropping. A Canadian retrofitter has a glass panel for your Robinson R44. And an 11-year-old who embarrassed the TSA is now a convicted felon. You're listening to AeroNews.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, November 17th. I'm Paul Plack. Airline passenger traffic has dropped during 2008. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Bureau of Transportation Statistics reported Friday that the number of scheduled domestic and international passengers on U.S. airlines during the first 8 months of 2008 declined by 7.3 million, or 1.4%, from the same period in 2007. A decline of 2.1% in domestic passengers was only partially offset by a 4.1% rise in international passengers during the period. Southwest Airlines carried more total system and more domestic passengers than any other U.S. airline, while American Airlines carried the most international passengers. Atlanta-Hartsfield-Jackson was the busiest airport in the first 8 months of 2008. You can find more details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Frank Robinson has said he really doesn't believe in glass panels for his helicopters, but that isn't stopping others from filling the demand. Sajum Avionics reports it has received a supplemental type certificate for the installation of a two-display configuration of its integrated cockpit display system in the Robinson R-44. The owner of the aircraft and the STC holder is ASAP Avionics of Vancouver Island, Canada, which has dubbed the system the R-44 Grand. The installation includes two 8-inch displays mounted in portrait orientation and offers options including enhanced vision and terrain obstacle proximity system. ASAP's installation replaces the entire integrated pedestal, reducing downtime and cost for follow-on installations. Sajum says pilots who've tried the system have become acclimated to it in as little as 30 minutes. You may recall the stories we've told you in the past about young Samaj Booker. Living with his mother in the working-class Seattle suburb of Lakewood, Samaj apparently decided life would be better if he could live with his grandfather in Dallas. So, after lots of virtual driving practice on video games, he started stealing cars to try to make his getaway. His third try ended up in a 90-mile-an-hour police chase, which started when a neighbor left an 86 Acura unlocked and running, and ended with a blown engine and a crash into a tree. Police say they had to break a window and drag the kid out. He was 9 years old at the time. This was in 2007. The very next day, Samaj sneaked out of the house again in the wee hours of the morning. Police say they're not sure whether he hitchhiked or stole another car, but somehow he found his way the 50 miles to SeaTac International Airport. He also somehow knew the name of a passenger who had a booking on a Southwest flight to San Antonio via Phoenix and told a ticket agent he was that guy. He also said that he was 12 years old and that his mother was already waiting at the gate. The airline printed him a boarding pass. Because a loophole in security laws does not require picture ID for anyone under 16, he managed to get on the plane. After landing in San Antonio, he had to find a way to get to Dallas. He was caught trying to talk his way onto another flight there and was put in juvenile detention. But everyone wanted to cut a 9-year-old a break, and his convictions on two felony counts related to the car chase were deferred. Fast forward to May of this year. Somehow, Samaj talked his way past security at SeaTac again, this time without even a boarding pass, and was stopped at a gate where he was trying to board a flight to Sacramento, California, claiming to be traveling with a man ahead of him in line. Samaj is now 11, and in addition to his history with cars and airports, he's been charged with breaking curfew, lying to police, burglary of an apartment, and destroying a mattress while in juvenile detention. It looks like being young and cute is losing its appeal with the courts. On Thursday, Pierce County Deputy Prosecutor Fred Wist told Superior Court Judge Frank Cuthbertson, quote, "Mr. Booker has never been held accountable for his actions. The time has come, Your Honor, for this court to say enough is enough," unquote. The Associated Press reports Judge Cuthbertson agreed and reinstated the two deferred felony convictions for car theft and attempting to elude police, ordered him to pay $100 to a crime victim compensation fund, pay $3,000 to the owner of the stolen Acura, and perform 4 hours of community service. He also told the boy, quote, "I know this is difficult for you to understand at 11 years old. Whether or not you have a criminal record makes a big difference in whether or not you can get a good job and help your family and have the things you want. It's time for you to step up and stop all the drama, stop all the nonsense, and stop making these bad decisions, and be a person who's going to help your family and is going to help our community. For some reason, I still believe you can do it," unquote. KING Television reports that if Samaj could stay out of trouble for 2 years, he could petition the court to have his juvenile record sealed. That would mitigate some of the lasting stigma of the felony convictions. There's also little doubt a kid this resourceful could somehow find a way to sell his story to cover the court-ordered restitution cost. It will certainly be interesting to see if Judge Cuthbertson's belief in Samaj turns out to have been justified. And finally, Friday was a big day for women in the U.S. military in at least two ways. 33-year Army Lieutenant General Ann Dunwoody got her fourth star Friday. She's the first female four-star general in U.S. history and will oversee 133,000 personnel in the Army's Materiel Command. Women were excited to hear Dunwoody promise, quote, "The Army nurtured me and mentored me, and today the Army offers me the chance to return the favor," unquote. Friday's other noteworthy event was the opening of Fly Girls of World War II, a traveling display honoring the first U.S. military-trained women aviators. The women Air Force service pilots, better known as WASP, flew everything from bombers to ferry planes. They also paved the way for future generations of military women to serve. One of those women who followed is Air Force Major Nicole Malachowski, who spoke at the ceremony. She's currently a White House fellow, but is an experienced fighter pilot with more than 180 hours of combat flight time. She was also the first woman to fly with the Air Force's Thunderbird Demonstration Squadron. Quote, "You didn't fly and serve your country because you were women, but because you had to overcome some attitudes and restrictions at the time, you managed to serve your country in spite of being women. You had a dream, you followed that dream, and your legacy inspired my dream," unquote. The WASP program only lasted 2 years and was disbanded in December 1944 because Congress wouldn't grant the women military status. They were considered civil service employees until the issue was brought up again in 1977, when they were finally recognized as military veterans. Mary Cox, who served as a WASP through the program's duration, says it was only a few years later that the women were authorized to wear the World War II service and American military campaign medals. Initially, more than 25,000 women pilots applied for the program. Less than 1,900 were accepted. After training, 1,074 won their wings. Today, fewer than 300 are still with us. Fortunately, several of them got to be among about 150 guests for the display's opening at Arlington. One was 86-year-old Scotty Goff, who openly appreciates the belated recognition and the opportunity provided her in her 1 year as a WASP. Quote, "I loved flying so much that if I'd had the money, I would have paid the Air Force to let me fly," unquote. There's no information posted yet on other tour cities, but the ladies have a website at www.wingsacrossamerica.us. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about which portions of every flight require a sterile cockpit. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.